This is Pastor Adam Lawson, First Apostolic Church of Shepherdsville. Thank you for tuning into our podcast, and thank you for your support. We hope you enjoy today's message. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 137 and verse 1. Psalm 137 and verse 1. Hallelujah. Thankful for what I feel in this house. I never want to take this for granted. Psalm 137 and 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Today I'm going to preach for just a little while. My song. My song. If you'd lay your Bibles down, we're going to pray just one more time. Father, I'm thankful for what I feel already in this service, Lord God. I'm thankful that you saturated this place and we felt your presence in such a strong way. I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay, Lord God. Help me to preach this message the way you gave it to me. I pray, God, that it would fall on ears that would hear, minds to understand, and hearts to receive. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our text, David's talking to Israel. He's talking about Israel that just was brought into captivity by Babylon. They were in a hard way. I know that under the sound of my voice, there's nobody in here that knows anything about a hard way. Amen. And David tells us a sad story about how the children of Israel lost their song. It says, we hanged our harps on the willows and we wept. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? This is what we would call a critical condition. Because when you've lost your song, you've lost your hope. When you've lost your song, you've lost your will. Can I tell somebody, it's important for us not to lose our song. We can be in a strange land and still have our song. We can be down and out and still have our song. We cannot afford to lose our song. Our song is our song unto God. Each one of us has one. Amen. They were in captivity in a strange land. They hung their hearts. They gave up their songs. They refused to sing. Can I tell you, when you are in the midst of your trial, that is the perfect time to start singing. That is the best time to go ahead and start worshiping. Hallelujah. Look, anybody can worship on the mountaintop, but it takes something different that when you're down and out, you can lift your hands and say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Come on, I'm here to tell somebody, we are going to have ups and downs, but we cannot afford to lose our song. The people of God are known by their song, by their celebration, by their worship. Can I tell you, when I think of a Pentecostal church, I think of people running the aisles. I think of people lifting their hands. I think of people dancing. I think of people shouting. I think about great music, people who have their song, who know how to sing their song. And even though they may not be perfect, even though they may not have everything together, they still have their song. Here Israel has lost their celebration. They lost their song. They lost their praise and their joy, their faith. And it's literally life-threatening. When it comes to praise and worship, nobody ever talked about it more than David. We know that the majority of the book of Psalms was written by David. And he knew a little something about praise. He knew a little something about worshiping. We look at Psalms, and we realize that it was almost like a diary to David. It doesn't matter what David started out talking about. He always ended up praising God. He could start out in the valley, but by the time he ended a verse, he was praising God. Can I tell you, it's okay to be down for a second. It's okay to be heartbroken for a second. It's okay to be in the mully grubs for a second. But my friend, we can't stay there. You got to get in your song. You got to lift your voice again. You got to realize it ain't always going to be like this. Things are going to change. Look at your neighbor and tell them things are going to change. How many of us have seen change? How many of us have seen where we started out in the mully grubs, but we kept our song, and through our song, things began to change? Can I tell you? Let me go ahead and prophesy right now. Things are changing right now. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep singing your song in spite of what you see. You keep your hands lifted and watch what God will do. Watch how he will move when you don't lose your song. Psalms 22, verse 1, my God, David says, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Now listen, this is David. This is a praiser. This is the one that worships God writing this. And he's saying, oh, God, you don't hear me. But watch what happens in verse 3. But thou art holy, and thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. You see, he turned it. See, when you know your God, you realize that my song is not in vain. I'm going to sing a little longer. I'm going to sing one more chorus. I'm going to sing one more bridge. I'm going to sing one more verse, because God is going to show up. He's on his way. And as long as I don't lose my worship, as long as I don't lose my praise, as long as I don't lose my song, God is going to show up in the midst. Amen, amen. Psalms 42 and 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. Can I tell you, the reason I smile is because of Jesus. The reason I can laugh is because of him. The reason I have my moving and being is because of what Jesus did for me. I was dead inside and until he found me. But when he found me, he picked me up. He turned me around. I'm going to tell you, I didn't know how to walk until I started walking with Jesus. He will change everything. You just can't get tired of singing. You can't let this world take your song. You can't let trial take your song. You can't let circumstance take your song. That's my song, and you can't have it. I'm not hanging my harp today. Hallelujah. Psalms 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him on the stringed instruments and the organs. Praise him on the loud cymbals. Praise him on the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you're breathing today, I want you to clap your hands to the Lord. Come on, we got to praise him. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Somebody said he's worthy. The word praise, praises, or another form of the word, is written 140 times in the book of Psalms alone. David is not just a speaker or a writer on the subject of praise, but he literally embodied praise. He knew how to praise. If you looked up in the dictionary the word praise, you would see a picture of David holding a timbrel going like this. Hey, he's going to be praising, because that's what David learned to do. That's what he knew to do. In the midst of every circumstance, he knew to praise. Let me tell you something. Your praise will take you places that your professionalism won't. My Lord, David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. There's something. Look, it's something else when I begin to praise and I begin to shout, and maybe I'll cut a rug. I've been known to roll on the floor a time or two. There's something about it when I do it. But when you get two or three that are in one mind and one accord, Lord that begin to praise, something happens in the atmosphere. If we could just get a hold of that and all of us learn to praise, you couldn't get that door open wide enough for the visitors to come in. You couldn't see. That's where the church gets messed up. I don't know, I can't believe I'm going here, but here I am. We think that the world wants to see a professional Pentecost. They don't. They want to see real. They want to see real. They want to see Book of Acts. They want to see people falling out. They want to see people speaking in tongues. They want to see people running the aisles. They want to see things that they can't understand. That's what the world is looking for. My goodness. David was a praiser, but you would be making a big mistake to assume that because David lived a life of praise that he never had any problems. He had problems just like you and me. He failed just like you and me. He sure did. David wasn't perfect. He did things that he shouldn't have done. But he knew that his praise got God's attention. In many cases, it was because of David's problems that he rose in praise. And many times where he got himself in a situation, he just began to praise God. We got to understand there is power in our praise. David discovered that praise is not just a companion through his pain, but it's a weapon. I believe 100% that if we understood how powerful our praise was, we would praise everywhere we went. That we'd be walking through the grocery store. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm going to tell you, I love it. Sometimes I'll shock people I work with. There's been times, look, I was telling the story. I worked in a factory that had very loud machines, but over top of that machine hum and the grinding and everything, you would hear me sing another chorus. Every praise is to our God, because there's something about it. It changes the atmosphere. It changes everything that goes on. I'm going to tell you, I got a call at work just this week. And right there, I took the call, I got the news, and I couldn't hold it. I'm in an office atmosphere, and I just began to give her one of these. Everybody looking at me like I lost my mind. Y'all don't understand. God did it again. I'm going to praise him because he's worthy. Now, of course, there were raised eyebrows everywhere, but I don't care because he's worthy. He's worthy at all times. Look at your neighbor, tell him all times. Who should praise him? Who should praise God? What does the Bible say? Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. So if you're breathing, you're a candidate. If you've got breath coming in and out of your lungs, you can say hallelujah. You can say thank you, Jesus. And if there's something wrong with your voice, you can lift them hands and begin to wave them in the air. You can praise God. Hallelujah. Why is it important to praise him? One, because he deserves it. There's a song we sing, if you never do anything else, you've already done enough. Just the fact that he died for me, he didn't have to, but he took my punishment. That's reason to praise him. If he never does another thing for me, that's enough. And let me tell you, it has nothing to do whether you feel blessed or not. You still should be praising him. It has nothing to do whether you're the head or the tail. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do whether everything is going good for you or not. It has nothing to do whether you can see God doing great things for you or not. All of that is inconsequential because he still deserves it. He still deserves praise. God is omnipotent, omniscient. He is holy. He is the creator of the universe, and he made me. And I know that if he made me on purpose because my Bible tells me so, and that I'm not a mistake, and that he deserves all of my praise. Amen. Truth is, we owe him our praise. Psalms 29, 1 and 2, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The word due speaks of a debt that you owe. So then it follows that if we owe God our praise, but we withhold our praise, then we are robbing God. We can't rob. Look, I'm going to tell you, anything good that happened to me, Jesus had a part of it. And anything bad that happened to me, Jesus is going to bring me out. When you get that understanding, it changes your praise. It changes the way you worship. It changes your song because you understand. Look, I learned a long time ago. As a matter of fact, it was about, I guess I was about 25 when I learned. It ain't always going to be like this, whether you're in a good season or a bad season. It ain't always going to be like this, but I'm going to worship him anyhow. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to lift my voice because he's worthy. Amen. When should we praise God? Well, in Psalm 113 and 3, it says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is worthy to be praised. So why? Why should I praise him? First, I've already talked about it. We owe him our praise. Second, he saved you. How many of us were scallywags? How many of us has done some scoundrel stuff? Amen. I was not a good person, and yet Jesus, in my moment of need, I have nothing to give him. And when I prayed, he showed up right now. He did not, Brother Nelson, I promise you, he showed up right now. I was a rank sinner. That day, I was cussing like a sailor. That day, I was not an ambassador to the Lord. But I come up on a situation where I needed God and I didn't know what to do. And I was weeping and wailing. And I had a preacher pray with me. And I asked God to do a certain thing. And can I tell you what? It didn't take 2 years. It didn't take 2 weeks. It took less than 2 minutes. And God turned it around because he knew what I needed. And he showed up just on time. So let me tell you, that's why I praise him. He saved me. He showed up for me when I didn't deserve it. When's the last time that you praised him that you get to be filled with his spirit? How many of us take that for granted? Can you imagine that? I never knew what it was like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something, Hunter. When I got in church after that prayer happened and God showed up in a way that I could have never dreamed he was going to show up, I went to the church. I didn't like Pentecostal people. I didn't. Scared the mess out of me. It did. And I looked at my mother-in-law and my wife. I said, I will never act like that. I will never do all that. But can I tell you that when the preacher preached and I felt that conviction and my knuckles were white on the back of that pew, I didn't walk. I ran to an altar and I got down on my knees and I said, oh God, I don't know what this is, but I want it. And as I began to say that, I lifted my hands and a man came down and he put his hand on my head and I began to speak in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave utterance. Sister Lawson, she was in the background. She didn't know what was it. She said, what's happening here? I was the first one. I was the first one. And that preacher looked at me, Brother Nelson, he said, have you been baptized? And I said, well, yeah, I have. He said, how were you baptized? I didn't think it mattered. I said, I was baptized when I was 7 years old at this such and such church, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He said, well, so I'd break to you, son. You're going to need to be rebaptized. Say, what? Oh, yeah. And he began to take me to the Bible. And he began to show me that there was only one place that was mentioned, and it was talking about one name. And then he took me to Acts, where Peter, let me remind everybody under the sound of my voice, Peter was not perfect. He was a brawler. He denied Jesus. He did all the things, but he was the one that preached the day of Pentecost. I want you to keep that in mind. You ever get to thinking that God can't use you because you did this and you did that? That's a lie from the pit of hell, because Jesus can restore who he wants to. He took me to that scripture and it said, repent, turn away from your sin. I'm sorry, not because I'm caught, but because I've done wrong. There's a difference in repentance and being sorry. I don't know how I got here, but here I am. When you repent, you no longer want anything to do with that. You see that you've done wrong and you want nothing to do with it, and all you want is forgiveness. I'm sorry as I'm sorry I got caught. I begin to repent and then be baptized, Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. When I went down in that water in Jesus' name, there was something that transacted in that water. My sins were washed away. My past was washed away. And when I come up out of that water, I felt it because my hands shot up high and I began to speak in tongues again. Can I tell you? That's the reason why I praise him. I had a generational curse on my life. I had a generational curse. I had multiple, as a matter of fact. My father suffered from it. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, my uncles. Everybody I knew had fought this thing. And when I went under the water, I was fighting it too. But when I came back up, something changed. Something broke. Can I tell you, you have the ability when you submit to the power of Jesus Christ to break a generational curse. And that's the only way it can happen. Amen? Amen. That's why I praise him. I praise him because I woke up today. You know, there's a lot of people who didn't wake up today. There's a lot of people who took their last breath last night. I praise him that I'm here today. I praise him. Oh, Lord, I stuck my foot right in my mouth this morning. I was talking about this, and I said, I praise him that I've got all my limbs, and your dad looked at me. I said, well, I praise him that we got the ones we got. Amen. I praise him because there's people who can't walk, who don't have limbs, who are paralyzed. I praise him for that. I praise him because I have my right mind. My wife may argue that sometimes, but I do. I have my right mind. I praise him because I was able to drive here today. I don't have to walk everywhere I go. I praise him that the heat was on in here today and we're not all freezing to death. I praise him because I'm going to eat a little bit later. I praise him because I've got a home to go to. I praise him for everything that he's done in my life. And if I didn't have any of it, I'd praise him anyhow. Because he's worthy. I praise him because I'm still here. I praise him because I'm still standing. Past 10 years, I've been talked about, lied on, stabbed. Not physically, but stabbed. And I'm still here. Let me tell you something. If the devil could take you out, he would, but he can't. If he wanted to kill you, if he could kill you, he would have done it a long time ago, but he can't. He can't. And Jesus is walking with you every step. The things that you've already been through, give him praise for it because you came through. Give him praise that you didn't stay there. Give him praise that he's taking you somewhere better. Give him praise that he took you through that so he could prepare you for what's next. Amen. One of the greatest weapons in David's arsenal and our arsenal is something that most people never consider. And when you look at it, it is our worship and our praise. When we have our praise and our song and our worship, the devil doesn't know what to do with that. How do you beat somebody who praises in the worst parts of their life? How do you beat somebody like that? When the devil takes everything from you and you can still lift your hands. When everything ain't going right in your family and you can still sing of the goodness of Jesus and sing about his mercy and his grace. When you ain't got enough to eat or you lost your job and you can still throw your hands up and say, naked came I into this world, naked shall I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The enemy doesn't know what to do with that. He can't do anything with that. And that's what gives God praise. One of David's greatest and most effective weapons was a song. A song is such a powerful weapon. And that's one of Satan's main objectives, is to steal your song. If he can get you to quit singing about Jesus, if he can get you to quit singing about his goodness and his mercy, he's got you. Why does he want it? Because your song is your testimony. It is. All of us have our favorite song. We probably have multiple favorite songs. We sang a bunch that I really like today. A bunch I really like. But I was mentioning earlier that my favorite, one of my all-time favorites is Rattle. Simply because it, nobody else can see it, but I can hear it. The dry bones rattling. It may not look like much to you, but God's doing something. So I'm going to speak to that thing. I'm going to speak to the revival that's to come here. I'm going to speak to the revival that's coming to Shelbyville. It may not look like much to anybody else, but I know what God's doing. And look, the Lord knows if those bones can live. And I'm going to tell you, He wants a church here in Shepherdsville. So I'm going to keep singing. I'm going to keep praising. I'm going to keep speaking because there's power in the words I speak. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. A song is an open rebellion to the worst that hell can throw at you. It's open rebellion. It says, you thought you had me. But thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. And you don't even have to be in tune. You can sing your song, not even be in tune, but it's still your song. Praise God. As long as you have your song, you're still in the fight. As long as you have breath, you can still sing your song. You may have been bitten, but you're not beat. You may have been wounded, but you're still in the fight. You might have been knocked down, but you're not out. You can get up again. You just need to start singing again. You need to start worshiping again. You need to get out of the mully grubs. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. David said, I have help. I have hope. And it's God. Think about your worst situation that you have right now. Now bring that into comparison with a God who created the universe. When you have that understanding that one, He knows the number of hairs on my head. It was real easy with you, Brother Kalen. He knows everything about me. He can move any mountain I come to. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes He just wants to know if you still have your song. Sometimes He wants you to develop a strength through your song. Amen. In Psalms 32 and 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with songs of deliverance. He hath put a new song in my mouth, Psalm 40 and 3. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let me give you one more, Psalms 118 and 14. The Lord is my strength and my song and has become my salvation. David's saying, what I've sung has manifested in my life. Can I tell you, last week it was said, and I want to remind some of us this week, you're living the prayers you were praying. You are literally living prayers that were just prayers just a little while ago because you never lost your song. When you learn not to lose your song, troubles are going to come. Bad things happen. Trial, tribulation, they happen to everybody. But when you understand that as long as I keep my song, I'm going to make it. You're going to make it. I want you to remind your neighbor that they're going to make it. Remember Paul and Silas? They were publicly humiliated. They were put in shackles and stocks, not shocks and stackles. That's about what I said. They were literally pinned up in the deepest part of the inner prison. It was a dungeon. From what I've seen in historical recollections of what that would look like, their arms were out like this and their head was put through here. They could barely move their heads. They couldn't move their hands or their arms. So they were just stuck. They were on their knees in a place of humiliation, locked up, to where they could not move. And you know what they did? I'll tell you what they didn't do. They didn't get all flustered. They didn't get all backwards. They didn't get all hostile. They weren't fussing and cussing. They weren't doing all those things. No, they didn't go into a deep depression because they were in the inner prison. They didn't do any of that. But they did. They couldn't clap their hands. They didn't have a beat. They didn't have a note played on a keyboard. But what they had was their song. I wasn't there, but I kind of think their song sounded like this. I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Oh, I. And they just began to sing, and they began to worship God. And do you know what happened? The Bible recalls that the chains began to fall off. The locks began to fall off. The prison doors swung open. Can I tell you, your praise in the midst of your circumstance can open the doors for others because they see your testimony in spite of the trial, in spite of the tribulation, and it opens the door to them that says, hey, there may be something to this Jesus thing. There may be something more to what this is. And in all of the chaos, all the doors swinging open, the prison guard sees everything unfolding, and he decides, he says, you know what, I'm not going out like this. I'm going to die today. And he goes to fall on a sword, and they cry out and they say, hold up, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. We haven't left. We're all right here. Do you know what he asked after that? He said, brethren, what must I do to be saved? My God, that's powerful. Could it be that in the midst of your trial, your test, your tribulation, that there's somebody looking for salvation and you're the key? And when you keep your song, that's exactly what they were looking for. You know, there's a lot of music out in this world today that's not very good. But there's a song that we have that we can sing. There's a song deep down that if we will let it out, those around us could be saved. I need you to understand that. Not everything that you think is bad is actually bad. Maybe you're put in a position to be a light for somebody else. When you understand, and I know I probably overuse this scripture, but when you understand that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, he's going to put you in places where you're needed. You think about everywhere the apostles walked, they received tribulation and trial and test and persecution. But in everywhere they went, they made a difference. Many times there's more faith in our song than there is in our prayer. Yes. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes our prayers are anemic. Oh God, if you would, if you could, you probably won't, but if you could. But then we sing a song. My God is mighty, mighty God. Mighty and righteous is your name, O Lord. You are a mighty God. Because there's something, and we get real anointed while we're singing, and we begin to talk about just how great our God is, and our anemic prayers pale in comparison to our song that we're singing, and about how great our God is. Can I tell somebody today, you need to keep your song. You need to sing your song with anointing and with conviction, and let God flow through your song. Amen. Our prayer is begging God for help, and our song is praising God for help. And praising God brings deliverance. That's what David meant when he said, you can pass me round about with songs of deliverance. Not songs of discouragement, not songs of frustration or aggravation or hopelessness or despair, but songs of faith, songs of brighter days, songs of expectation, songs that lift and songs that pull me up. I can tell you, I can be having the worst day. and you put on the right song, and everything changes. Everything changes. Maybe right now you're listening to me speak and you have lost your song. You've had the breath knocked out of you. You don't even feel like you can ever sing again. But can I tell you, if you'll ask God, He'll give you a new song. Amen. He will. Life happens to all of us. Nobody's exempt from trial. Nobody's exempt from persecution. But God will give us a new song. He'll give you a song of hope. He'll give you a song of peace and joy. Listen to this verse. Sing, O barren, that thou didst not bear. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. That's Isaiah 54 and 1. This verse is telling you, sing beyond your present circumstances. Quit singing about right now. Sing about where God's taken you. Speak into your future. Amen. Blessing. I'm going to bring his singing for a close. Think about when David was at Ziklag. He had been out doing everything right. He was out fighting. He was fighting the war. And he had won. He had all of his men. And they come back to the camp. And they're all talking about how they just wrought this mighty victory. But when they get to the camp, they walk in. And the first thing they notice is smoke. And they look up and there's a sense of dread that hits them. And they walk into their little village and all of their houses are burnt. Their animals are gone. Their wives are gone. Their children are gone. And David, yes, David was not exempt from this. His wives and children were gone. And as he looked around, he began to hear his own men talk about how they should kill David. Just a moment ago, they were shouting with David. They were high-fiving David. They were talking about what a great leader David was. And now, in just a couple of breaths later, they're talking about killing him. Can I tell you, it's going to happen in life to you. People are going to love you until they don't. You cannot predicate your worship on the opinion of others towards you. And he went down by the creek. The Bible said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He got his song back. He prayed and he began to worship. And then he prayed again and he said, "Shall I pursue?" And the Lord tell him without fail. He said, "Pursue, for without fail you shall recover all." We can't get so stuck in the trial that we can't see the triumph just beyond through our praise. Won't you stand with me today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can I tell you, your praise is powerful. Your deliverance is just one song away. Your joy is just one song away. Your health is coming back. Your strength is coming back. Your joy is coming back. All of these things that the enemy thought that he was going to get, it's coming back. When you get your song back. When you say that regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes or goes, I'm going to worship you, God. I've yet to see the righteous forsaken. With every head bowed and every eye closed in here.